And the topic I really felt in my heart to share with you, it's maturing in Christ. Because it's so important that we learn what is true maturity in Christ. And I was saying in the first service that it would be so great if there was an anointing of maturity. If God could bring someone to just pray for us to mature in one prayer, we'll all of a sudden be mature. But that's not how it happens. It has to happen through days and years of experience and learning and dying. Because one of the things Jesus has called us to do is to take up our cross and to follow him. And taking up our cross sometimes is a hard thing. It's never easy. And it's hard to die to yourself. It's hard to die to your ego or to your desires or to the things that you hold dear. But that's one of the things God has called us to do. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. I think that has to be the verse for us. Yes, when I was a child, when I was a new believer, I behaved like a new believer. I talked like a new believer. You know, a new believer sometimes is not so sure. And it could be, you know, I remember, you know, when I was learning to walk in Christ, there was a season in my life, a time in my life where, you know, my friends would take me to the nightclub on the Saturday night. And I was there, never felt comfortable because I knew that wasn't the place for me, but I was there nevertheless. And then on the Sunday in church, and then on the Sunday I didn't feel, I remember there was one particular day where they were singing a song that said something about lifting up holy hands. And I couldn't lift up my hands because I knew where I had been the night before. And that day, it changed something in my life. So when you're a baby Christian, you can be like that on one side and the other side. But that's a baby Christian. You know, a child, a two-year-old, it's allowed to do those tantrums, you know. You know, have you seen them on the shopping center or when you try to put them on the pushchair? You're like, ah, screaming and shouting. And you think, what is that parent doing to that child? You know, and it's because, you know, they're learning to control their emotions. They're learning to be obedient. They're learning, you know, a whole process. But as we keep on growing, we have to let away with those childish things. We can't behave like a child anymore. We have to grow up. You know, I can't expect my three-year-old I can't expect my 13-year-old to behave like my 3-year-old. My 3-year-old can get upset and shout and scream until she gets what she wants. I can't expect the same behavior from my 13-year-old because she knows how to behave. She knows how to control her emotions. She might get upset, but she knows how to talk. Whereas the 3-year-old, I have to teach her, that's not the way you behave. And sometimes I just have to ignore her tantrums. You know, just step over her and just keep on doing my own thing so she knows that means nothing to me. Although inside of me, I want to stop it, but, you know, she just needs to grow up and just learn. So that's what I'm talking about maturity. You know, as children, you know, my 3-year-old might say mean things to me like, you're not my best friend. And that's a mean thing for a child to say to someone else, you must know. That's the worst thing a child can hear from another child, that you're not their best friend. So I understand that. But, you know, that's not going to change my life because I'm mature. I'm her mom. I know even if she was very upset, that doesn't mean much. But you have to now look into yourself as a Christian. As Christians, sometimes an immature Christian might hurt me. But because I'm mature, I don't let that stand in the way of our relationships. Or I shouldn't. Maybe it hurts me, but I shouldn't. I shouldn't because I'm mature. I know that what that person is saying, they don't really mean it. They're just saying it out of anger. And how many times we say things out of anger? That's why when you're really upset, it's best not to say anything. And sometimes to say, you know, I need to have my time and just walk away until you're calm. Because when you're upset and angry, you will not be godly guided to say the wisest thing. I can assure you that. unless you've learned to control your emotions, in which case you won't say anything. And you'll wait until it's the right time. There are things that you need to address, but you need to address it at the right time. So, point number one. And maybe just give you the definition of what I mean by maturing in Christ. What I mean is to develop a Christ-like attitude, a character, a conduct, a Christ-like conduct, a Christ-like attitude, what Christ wants us to be, his ambassadors here on earth. That's what we should be, a Christ-like attitude, a Christ-like character. And so the first thing, it's maturity in Christ enables us to inherit God's promises. There are so many promises and there are so many things that God wants us to have it. And they actually belong to us, but sometimes we don't get hold of them because we don't understand or we haven't grown to that maturity. Look what the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I'm reading from the ESV translation and it says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is not different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he's under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. In other words, there's so many promises and so many things, spiritually speaking, that belong to us. They belong to us. That's our inheritance. We are going to receive those, but because we still think like children, right? Then you can't receive it because you will damage. So looking back into my life, my husband and I were given a lot of authority within our church, and we were immature in the leadership area. So there was passion in our heart, there was love. By the way, I love the UK. I'm not from the UK. I was born in Ecuador. I came here when I was 13 years old. But the only way I can describe it, or the only way I can share this is, although I'm from Ecuador, it's my heart, something in my heart has changed. And in my spirit, I'm British. I love this nation more than my own nation. My own nation, I don't even think about it. But the UK, it's always in my mind. Whenever we go to any place, I'm always praying and thinking, God, you need to do a change in London and in the UK. There's a passion, there's a love in my heart for the UK. So for me, this is the place where God wants to do something amazing. I believe God is going to bring a huge revival. And maybe he will use Brexit to do it. I don't know how, but I believe something supernatural is going to happen. I really do. So, what was I telling you? My love. Oh, yeah, the authority. I was talking about leadership. They gave us a lot of authority and leadership, and in our passion and in our love and in our, you know, wanting to do lots of things for Christ, when you're young, you run and you don't look at the consequences. You just run. You see a goal and you go. And we did that. And the way I describe it is like they gave me a sword and I was killing anyone with it, anything, any good or bad, I just did it. Because I didn't know how to use that sword, the authority. I look back and I realize that in my passion and in my love and my good intentions, I hurt a lot of people because I was immature. I didn't know how to behave. I didn't know how to do certain things. I was maybe rough and tough with my words. And so that's what I said. It would be great if someone would lay hands over us and all of a sudden, we're mature, but you need to grow up. You need to learn. And so we're all at different levels of maturity right now. And the great thing is that we all, you know, it doesn't matter our gender, it doesn't matter our ethnicity, our age. It's not what impedes us. What's important is our desire in our heart to learn and to change. And change is the hardest thing that I found. People are so anti-changing. You know, if for all of a sudden Pastor Paul, for whatever reason, and Joe say, you know, we're going to change the services. Now we're going to have a 7 o'clock service. Maybe the majority of you will be like, no way, no, that's not the best time. Or maybe if he says, now we're going to do a Saturday service instead of the Sunday. You know, we don't like changes. As human beings, we just don't like changes because they take us. How many of you like moving house? Yeah, I thought so. Because you have to pack and you have to move everything, and then you go to the new place, and then maybe it's a longer way to walk to the station, or you know, I'll have to wait longer for the bus. We like to be comfortable. Right. You know, when we're comfortable, like I know where this goes here, and the shop is right there, and it's all good. This is great. This is heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And then Jesus says, no, I need you to move. You're too comfortable. I need you to grow up. So he moves you. He changes situation. And that's when your true maturity, your true faith comes out. When in hard times, when everything's good, when you're in good health, you don't need faith for healing. When you have a great job and your income is coming every month and you have no debt, you don't need faith for being prosperous. Why do you need it? You've got everything. You know, when everything's good and comfortable, sometimes you don't even need God because you're good. But you know what? It's on the hard times when your true faith, you know, sometimes we're very quick to judge others. Oh, you know what? You don't get your miracle because you don't have enough faith. That's why. When it changes onto you. Then it's a different conversation. Then where is your faith? Right. You know? And so those are the type of things that I'm telling you about maturity. Because it's so, you know, they say it's easy to point at other person. But you have to remember that when you point at someone, there are three fingers that are pointing back at you. Look. Yes. You can point with one. And there are three fingers pointing at you. So we need to be humble and we need to be compassionate, you know. So the first thing, you know, you need to grow. You need to mature so you can receive God's inheritance. So important. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16 says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head in Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. We need to mature so that the body of Christ can really be an example to the world. We really do. Otherwise, you know, we are fighting with each other. We are fighting. We're looking at each other's faults because we're not mature. We're not growing. We're not seeing Christ in that person. There may be, obviously, all of us have faults. Oh, that is the assumption. That should be the assumption. We all have faults. None of us is perfect. None of us. That's why we need Christ, so that the Father can see us through Christ and see us a lovely man and a lovely woman of God. But there are things that, you know, we need to change. There are things that we need to let go and things that we need to get hold of. But one of the things that you will see over and over, we need love. To mature, you need love. Because love is grace, love is kindness. Love is letting go of certain things. You don't want to be fighting and holding on to a grudge. Love is letting go of certain things. The second thing, it's maturity in Christ enables us to fulfill our calling. Maturity in Christ enables us to fulfill our calling. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3 says, "So I, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and a mature behavior. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation with all humility." I'm reading from the, obviously, the Amplified version. So you have extra. "And gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in unselfish love. Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, the word here for love, it's not just an emotional type of love, you know, like the feeling of love. It's not just that. The word here is more, is a matter of doing things for the benefit of the other person. It's having an unselfish concern for one another and a willingness to seek the best of the other person. And that is so important. Because it's easy to love those who love you. It's easy to be kind to those that are kind to you. It's easy to smile to those that smile to you. It's so hard to love those that you know don't like you, that maybe even hate you, that despise you. It's hard. You know, it's emotionally and humanly thinking, how can I love someone who's constantly talking bad about me? How can I love them genuinely? Yet the Bible, God calls us. That should be our attitude. That should be the way we do things. We should bless them and love them. And this is a revelation. I think loads of key things in the Word of God are revelation. You are a cheerful giver when you've had the revelation of giving.
Right?
Right? You are a tither when you have had the revelation.
Yes.
You pray, you are a man or a woman of faith when you believe that, you know, we don't pray, for example, for healing, and then we don't get discouraged because we don't see the healing. Because we know that our God is almighty and powerful. And He chooses. I'm not a healer. I'm just the instrument God might use to bring healing to someone. I don't give anyone healing, but He does.
Yes.
And because He does, He knows how to do it. Maturity in Christ enables us to fulfill our calling. And I want to tell you something here that is so important, so key to mature. Sometimes we live a frustrated Christian life because we see a man or a woman of God and we feel that we need to be like that person, that we need to have that anointing, that we need to speak like they speak, that we need to preach like they preach, that we need to do what they do. And since you never live up to that standard, you're always frustrated because you don't talk like they talk, because people don't follow you like they follow them. And you feel upset, and you don't feel like, you know, you can do anything in the kingdom. And that's because you're like David wearing the armor of Saul. It was never going to fit David because it wasn't made for him. Same thing. Whatever God has called you to do, it's your calling. It's not my calling. I will never fit into your armor as you will never fit into mine. And when you understand this, your life all of a sudden changes. And you feel comfortable in the way God made you. Whether you're loud, whether you're quiet. Whether you're, you know, hyperactive and, you know, you need to be around people. Or whether you're more a calm person who just needs to have two or three persons close to them. That's it. You know, then you feel, okay, I know what God has called me to do. Now I will live into that calling. And that is so important. I share in the first service that when I was a teenager, 12, 13, there was a stage in my life where, for whatever reason, everyone began to talk about my height, tease me about my height, constantly. It was like wherever I went, it wasn't just one person, it was wherever I went. That was the issue that came up all the time. And it made me feel so uncomfortable, and it made me feel so, you know, like I wasn't happy with the way God had made me. And, you know, I remember praying, having my time with God. And I remember at that stage of my life, I used to, because of so much teasing about my height, all of my shoes were platform. Even the trainers, they had these huge platform heels. You know, even my trainers, even the trainers. And so, but it was because I was feeling insecure, because I wasn't happy with the way God had made me. And so I remember having that time with God, my devotional time with God, and I said, God, you know, you're the God of heaven and earth. You are the Almighty God. You are the great I am. Lord, I ask you today to make me grow just 10 centimeters. That's nothing for you, Lord. 10 centimeters is nothing for you, Lord. Please, and I will faithfully serve you for the rest of my life. So here I am, faithfully serving God for the rest of my life. But not because he made me grow 10 centimeters, it's because he made me mature and he made me understand that the way he had made me was perfect, that there was nothing missing, that there was nothing missing, that everything that he had made in me, the way he's made me, was perfect. That's how he wanted it. That was his intention all along. Yes. And so I'm here to tell you as well that the way God made you, your background, the family in which you were born, the surname you have, the name you have, what the things that you can't change, that nobody can change, the blood that's inside of you, God made it perfectly. And I know that the enemy wanted to use those things. And from the moment he knew you were being conceived, he wanted to kill you and destroy you. But all the things that the enemy wanted to use to destroy you, God is going to turn it into a blessing. And that is something that only God can do. Use our pain and our hurt that the enemy wanted to use to destroy and kills us, and God turn it into a blessing. Isn't that our God is good? It's awesome. It's amazing. And so that is part of our maturity as well. When we learn, okay, Lord, now I'm going to walk in my destiny. I know what you have called me to. And, you know, we've not all been called to be pastors or teachers or prophets or apostles. But, you know, there's, for example, maybe in your heart there's a desire to work with the children ministry. And I know that is not a ministry that a lot of people want to do. You know, I know that. But let me tell you my own personal testimony. My mom became a Christian when I was about 5 years old. I come from a Catholic background. And my mom came to know the Lord, and she would take me to Sunday school on Sundays. Now, I don't remember the name of my Sunday school teachers, but I do remember they put something inside my heart. The word of God was sown in my heart that even though when I was growing up and I could have gone wildly, completely, horribly wrong, there was this fear in my heart because of the word of God that was sown in my heart that really kept me. So, you know, I know the Sunday school teachers are probably not here. They're with the children over there. But bless them. And if there is a passion in your heart, if there is something in your heart to work with children, do it. Because there is you tell a child anything and they believe you. They have this openness to the spiritual things. That's the best stage in their lives for them to know about Christ. That's the key time in their lives. And so, you know, we need to pray for that children's ministry. It's so important. I know that youth are important and you are important, but something is special because a lot of people don't want to deal with the children. And don't, please, don't look at the child and think, oh, here comes that troublemaker again. Oh, Lord. Because you don't know what's happening in that child's life. Yeah. What's happening in school. And maybe you are the one contact that person has with kindness in the week. You don't know how rough life has been for that child.
Right.
And you might be kindness to that child.
Yes.
So, you know, let them remember. Whenever I went, you know, in school it was terrible. At home it was terrible. But whenever I went to church, I remember so-and-so would always be kind to me. Would always treat me with respect. Would always honor me. Sometimes we don't honor or appreciate the children. The children, they just go over there. Let's give honor to the adults. But you forget that that child is going to grow up and he may be your next prime minister. That child is going to grow up and he may be your GP. That child may grow up. I mean, it may be the person in charge of something important in the hospital. You understand? So let's give honor to everybody, not just to the adults, but even to the little kids, because those things mark their hearts. So that's I'm talking about, you know, how important it is to mature, to fulfill our call. Our call could be anything. You know, just being kind could be your call. Being kind to everybody and show love and mercy. We are a new creation. You know, sometimes things don't go, like I shared with you in the beginning, don't go according to our plans. But it's there where you can see God reminding you of who you are.
Right.
You are a child of God. You have been called to do great things. Sometimes, you know, because of our circumstances, we think, oh, I have to stop dreaming big. Now I just have to settle in a small flat. I have to settle in this mediocre job. I have to settle in this because, you know, everything looks dark. But no, that's only a stage of what, or maybe a rough path. God wants something bigger for you. Because our God is a big God. He wants greater things for us. And sometimes, yes, we do feel like there is like, God, what is going to happen now? And that's when God reminds you his promises.
Right.
You know, God says to Abraham, he had no child. Abraham, count the stars in heaven. I don't know if you've ever seen a sky full of stars. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it until when I was coming back to the UK from the States about 4 weeks ago. I opened the little blind on the airplane. And I couldn't believe my eyes. It was stars everywhere. The sky was all, you know, dark. Stars everywhere. Like, I've never seen it. I wanted to take a picture. I wanted to record it. I couldn't because it was so dark outside that you couldn't. But I never saw so many stars in my life. It was amazing. And I could just think, this is probably or more than what Abraham saw, the stars in the sky. And God wants you again to dream big. Maybe you were thinking, settling for, okay, this is comfortable, okay, maybe this is where I'm meant to be. God says, no, 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 don't get comfortable there, no. I want you to dream big again. Apply for the better positions. Get into better things because I want something greater for you. Because we, as parents, are the platform in which our children are going to grow into. And my last point, maturity in Christ enables us to complete our lifelong journey. Maturity in Christ enables us to complete our lifelong journey. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it's equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. This journey is not a race of getting there first. Because if you want to get there first, you know what it means? It means you graduate. And you know what it means when you graduate? It means you go to heaven. So I don't know how many of you want to get there fast. I'm not ready to graduate yet. I have a long race ahead of me. And so this is about endurance. The race we're running is not about winning and getting there first. It's about winning but enduring enduring the race, getting there little by little. And so, you know, we will then be able to teach those that are coming after us, the younger generation. These are the things that you should avoid. And these are the things that will work for you. You know, it's great to have, to celebrate marriages. And to celebrate anniversaries is great because you've gone ahead. And sometimes we feel, you know, like with testimonies, you know, there'll be like those testimonies of someone who was not a believer and they've gone through a lot of hardships. And then there's testimonies of sometimes people who maybe not gone through a lot of hard things belittle their own testimonies and they're like, oh, I'm not like that person. That person has done a lot of terrible things. So they have a lot to talk about. I have nothing to share. Don't belittle your thing, what you've lived through, because what you've lived through is something that someone needs to hear. You have a testimony as powerful as someone who's gone through a hardship. So don't, once again, because you are not seeing what God sees in you. You are saying, oh, if my life had been like that person, again, you're not happy with the way God made you. Once you learn to love and to understand God, this is how you want to use me, so I'm going to work on this, then something changes. So it's important that we as a church show marriages that are strong. Yes. Not perfect marriages, because there's no such a thing as a perfect marriage. Just as there's no such a thing as a perfect church, because if it was a perfect church, we wouldn't be here, because we will mess it up. You know? And what I've learned is that sometimes what people actually want is people who are honest and show maybe their fragility. So I will share something very personal. It's not sad, it's funny. So one day, talking about maturity, because you need, you know, we make mistakes, but you can't make the same mistake 20 times before you mature. I think after the second time, it's enough. You should be able to grow up. So, one day, I'm worshiping, like I'm getting ready because I was going to have a special meeting in the evening. So all day, I'm, you know, looking after the atmosphere. Holy Spirit is with me everywhere. I'm driving in the car, and I remember that I need to stop and get some drinks. So I stop in Tesco to get some drinks, and the presence of God is following me wherever I am, the atmosphere, you know. I'm getting the drinks. Maybe angels are overshadowing me, I'm sure. And then I'm in the queue to pay, and the lady says, next. So I go, and I put the basket there, and then something happens. The lady says, don't put the basket there, put it over there. And I'm a very calm person. We will never have problems with me, but that day I switched. I switched, like I was surprised at myself. I was like, what? I don't want you to serve me. Go and get someone else. I don't know where the Holy Spirit went. I don't know where the angels went. I don't know what happened. And I switched, and I was very upset. I got really angry, like, but I, you know, that's not my nature. That's not me. So I was surprised at myself. And then the lady says to me, you know, she obviously doesn't move. I don't move. And then she's like, listen, I don't know if you had problems in your work, but don't come and throw them on me. And I'm thinking, if you just knew the presence of God was with me all day. And then she says, sister, let's not fight. When she says, sister, let's not fight, I'm like, are you a Christian? She says, I am. I'm like, me too. I'm sorry. So I learned to control my emotions from that moment onwards. Then a young boy is graduating from university. He invites me and someone else to his graduation. You know, they give you tickets and you have your set, you know, seats. So no one should sit on your seats because they're yours. So we arrive a bit late and someone is sitting on our seats. There's only one seat. There was two of us. So we asked the person kindly to move. The person would not pay attention to us. They were like, there. And I was faced with the decision. Am I going to behave like I did the other time in Tesco? Because that is my seat. I have a right to sit there and to get that person out of there. I got my ticket. Or am I going to have a Christ-like attitude? I chose the latter. So I went, because there was a, like we were in the middle of those seats, I just went and to another place where I found a seat and I just sat there. That's what I said to you. You know, we make mistakes and that's fine, but let's not make the same mistake 20 times. First time should be enough. Have you learned something about maturity? Maturity is having a Christ-like attitude, right? So if you take anything from this, don't take the story of Tesco. If you take anything, you might probably remember this preaching because of the Tesco story. But if you take anything from this sermon today, take that maturity is having a Christ-like attitude, a Christ-like behavior. Amen? Let's all stand up and let's ask God. Let's see if that anointing of maturity comes on us. No, let's ask the Holy Spirit. He knows. He knows you more than you know yourself sometimes. So he will show you and he will guide you and he will speak into your life. So let's, and it means sometimes that we need to learn to forgive and we need to learn to let go of things. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for the hunger that I can feel in the hearts and in the lives in this place. Lord, there are families represented in this place. Generations, Lord. Father, only you know how dark our lives would have been without you, Father. Yet today we have light. Today we have a future. Today we have a hope. Today, Father, we have the tools to grow and to mature, to be more like Christ. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you will begin to bring changes into our hearts. Lord, make our hearts shapeable. Lord, take away any pride or take away any resentment that hasn't allowed us to grow and to mature, Lord. Father, bring healing into our hearts, into our bodies as well, Father. You are the Almighty God. You are the all-powerful God. And we pray today. We pray today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, because you're in this place. We ask you today, move among our hearts. You're the best person to bring convictions into our hearts. You know how to do it. You know how we each work. You know how each one of us was made. And Father, I speak against the words that were spoken for ministry, for growth in the lives of my brothers and sisters, Lord. Father, if parents or teachers spoke against them, Father, as they were growing up, if bosses spoke against them, I cancel every negative word in the name of Jesus. Father, and I declare your word for them. You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. The Father says to you, you are my beloved daughter. I made you wonderfully made. You are perfect the way I made you. And today, I tell you, daughter, I am proud of you. You are my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Father, help us as parents to speak words of life into our children and to keep quiet when we're angry, to keep quiet when we're upset, Lord, so that we can lift them up and edify them. Father, I pray right now, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you because something is changing in the atmosphere. You're changing something, Lord. May your word be sown into our hearts and bring fruit 100-fold, Lord. 100-fold, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.